want that from everybody, you and your family, is up over your goal. I thought this week, instead of speaking about the parsha, I wanted to share with you some impressions I had from my visit to Chicago last week in the Midwest. I go to a convention, which I thought might interest some of you at least. Last week I was in Chicago for Shabbos. It was an Agudah of Midwest, which is located particularly in Chicago and Illinois, but it covers the Midwest, which is ranging from Cleveland, Detroit, St. Louis, Denver, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Dallas, Houston, and probably other places that I've forgotten, Detroit. And there were 1,200 people there for Shabbos. Cincinnati, the whole communities came. Rabbonim, Shekelim, High School Bain, Alabatim. Delegations and delegations and delegations and delegations from these cities. And what was astounding to see, which is, I want to speak about this for a few minutes, is that they came with their families, by the way, as a family-oriented Shabbos. So from all across the Midwest, where a substantial amount of the people, besides those from Chicago, are coming from kehillas with not more than 100 or 200 or 300 from families altogether. And yet the children look like they're growing up in Yerushalayim, and the families are dressed and behaved like the highest level of B'nai Torah. Talking about healthy, happy, from normal people, huge tzibur from all these towns and places, vibrant, geschmack, mevakshim, erloch. So I want us to take out two horrors, which I think are critical. If you have those in mind, I want you to go on the parasha this week. But I think it's so important to share this. First of all, it's very good and very important, and there's a tremendous plus in living close to terror centers. Not everyone can, not everyone does. But I see that when parents want, that there were hundreds of children there, and teenagers, boys and girls, but particularly boys who were in high school, most of them, but the girls were there from all across the ages of teenage girls who were dressed bitznias and behaved bitznias from all these towns that I mentioned, full-scale Beis Yaakov girls. So first of all, the first horror that I wanted to share with you is the power of parenting. When parents want to give over a legacy, they can do it even without the support system of living in the centers of Torah, in the centers. I'm not coming to discuss what's better for a particular family. I'm talking about the concept of parenting. So where do all these kids turn out? Yes, they have Gvaltige Mechanchim and they have good schools, that's true. But B'sach HaKol, there isn't a support system of a larger community where they're in a place where that's taken for granted, that hundreds and thousands of girls dress like that or hundreds of thousands of boys behave like that. None of that. So where do these children get the message of what's right and wrong? Where do they get the Edelkeit? The answer is from their parents. Because at the end of the day, in places like that where the educational systems are limited, so the home is the dominant force. And it shows that when parents really, in all these places, the parents have no choice. They have to step up to the plate because the home has to be dominant when you're living in a town with 100 or 200 from families or 300 from families. You have no choice. And you have a day school and maybe a girls' high school. You have no choice. You have to step up to the plate and give your kids a clear message. Now, in order to do that, you have to have good marriages. It doesn't mean everybody out of town has great marriages. That's not what I'm saying. But in order to do such a thing, you have to have such a thing. And what it means is that there is such a phenomenon still around that parents, almost alone to a large extent, obviously without negating the effect of the moistus, but to a large extent, without a supporting environment, that's for sure, parents still have the yichelus to make an indelible impression on their children and to be mechanech them to the way they want without, almost entirely, without a supportive environment and climate. And that's something so important to see, because in the places where there's huge environmental forces, positive forces of Yiddishkeit, the parents, to a large extent, have stopped parenting and stepped back and let the market forces operate. Usually it works, that's true. Usually it does work, that's true. But it doesn't always work. That's not good for everybody. And it was a breath of fresh air for me to see that there's still a healthy, strong, powerful phenomenon of Yiddisha, B'nai Torah, to the full extent parents, who in a non-supportive environment, and almost in no environment at all, are able to bring up their kids, Kedasu Kedin, that they look like they're B'nai Brak in Lakewood. That's an incredible zach, it's an incredible reminder of such a force, which is the primary force of Klal Yisrael, of Yigadat HaLabincha, still exists. I think it's a critical lesson for all of us. The second akuta is, and I don't mean to be cynical or sarcastic, but you're looking at hundreds and hundreds of families bringing up their kids, and I say again that their children look no less than the children from the main centers, and I'm talking about all these towns across the board. They bring up their kids in places that don't have bagel stores and pizza stores and schnitzel stores and takeout stores. Most of these places barely have a kosher bagel store. Barely. Maybe one. Maybe. Maybe a fleishig store. Most of them don't have. And yet the people look happy and healthy. Can you imagine? I know it's hard for me to say out of my mouth. How can you have a Jewish community without tens of takeout options of going here and going there, of every type of Chinese and every type of this and every type of that? Yeah. But can you imagine people that bring up, I said this over to the Bachur and the Sher in Yerushalayim tonight. I was talking with them. So one, they all raised the thing. So what do people do Matzah Shabbos? Can you imagine the question? So what do people do? I don't know. What did they do 50 years ago before there were 100,000 takeouts? I don't know. Maybe some people learned. Some people spoke with their kids. Some people even played Risk with their children or Monopoly. And then people went to sleep. They got up on time in the morning. What type of daughter are we bringing out that's completely dependent and surrounded by a world of going out in a tidal wave of eateries? And we've forgotten what it means to bring up kids without it. And I was exposed last week to an entire door of hundreds of families who are bringing up their children in places where they have none of that. None of that. Not the chefza, not the gavra, not the whole way of life, not the whole necessity. Nobody even dreams of it. Nobody even knows they're missing anything. And everybody looks happy and wholesome and normal and geschmack and with it, without this whole craziness, without this whole going out phenomenon. Vegam, l'rabo, is a third thing. Bichlal, the whole way of life, of having to live an expensive lifestyle above our heads, whether it's these sad fashions. And I'm not talking about the people from out of town book any less. But at the end of the day, what you buy in the kosher section of a ShopRite, at the end of the day, is going to be substantially less because of the limit of choices that you're going to have at the end of the day. And you're not going to buy things that are unnecessary because they're partially not available. And that applies to across the spectrum of every area of life, of food, and clothing, and every pishivka people I speak to from the big centers tell me that their kids are constantly asking them for more. They don't even know what they want. More of everything. And I don't see that anybody's particularly happy from it. And yes, I was exposed to hundreds of children who are happy, who don't have the availability on any level, whether it's food, whether it's going out, and whether it's spending time, all the things that are taken for granted in the big centers, which have ruined and lowered the fabric of authentic Jewish life. And it was a breath of fresh air to see kehilas of people who are absolutely normal and absolutely balanced and absolutely with it and absolutely technologically advanced, all the things that you worried about. They even have telegraphy and telephone, electricity, everything. And people on top of the game, and they send their kids off to yeshivas. And they don't have any of the trappings of the big center society, not the going out and not the overspending and not the standard of living which has gone over the top and buying our kids things which they don't need. And they're happy. That's mitzad standard of living. And then there's the etzem parenting, the etzem understanding that if I want my kid to turn out a certain way, I have to give him over that message. And when a person knows that it's up to him, so you have the self-confidence and the siyata dishma and the ability to do it. So both things, both of these are the standard of living that we can bring up children without all this junk. And yes, we can bring up children the way we want if we really believe in it and we really want it. For me, those are two, I would say, eye-opening things to be able to see the success of it. Now, I'm not saying in this phone call that everyone should right away pick themselves up and move out to the Midwest. There's so many variables in these decisions. But those who can maybe should consider it if it's appropriate for them with all the variables of their life ranging from Bukhnias to Kashmirs. But maybe we should bring some of the Midwest to the East and maybe start to go back to some sort of sanity, both in Chinuch HaBonim, in giving our kids some sort of clear message, and both in our standard of living, and be able to find an alternative answer of what should you do Matzah Shabbos when you have spare time. And maybe going back to a healthier lifestyle, a more Jewish lifestyle, a more fulfilling lifestyle, a cheaper lifestyle, a happier lifestyle. Kol Tov, a good Shabbos to everybody.